When you study the Holy Trinity, there are a lot of big words that come from Greek and big words that come from Latin. It's important not only to know these words, but to have a good understanding of what they mean. Especially as you're reading through Thomas Aquinas and the Summa Theologiae, you're reading the questions on the Trinity and the articles on the Trinity, you're going to see these words all over the place. So it's important to have a good understanding of their definitions and also their relationship to the Greek and to the Latin. All right, so let's get started. The first one is homoousios. Homoousios, perhaps the most important theological dogma in the history of the councils of the church. It means the same substance. As we translate it in the creed, consubstantial. So we believe that Jesus Christ, the second person of the Trinity, his divine nature, is consubstantial, homoousios, with God the Father and the Holy Spirit. All three persons share the same substance. They are consubstantial. So homoousios is Greek for same substance, and consubstantial is Latin for the same substance. Now, the second is hypostasis, right? Now, this is the Greek word for a person of the Trinity. There are three hypostases, you would say. And in Latin, there's not really a good correspondence. And so in Latin, we use person. We're going to get to that in a little bit. But if you ever see hypostases, or plural hypostases, right, this is the three divine persons. And this is why in Christ, the unity between his divinity and his humanity, the divine nature and the human nature, is called the hypostatic union, because it's the union of those two natures in his one person, the second person of the Trinity. Now, the third is perichoresis. Perichoresis, it's a Greek word, and it literally means dancing or moving together, and it refers to the inner penetration of the three persons. So the Son is in the Father, and the Father is in the Son. The Spirit is in the Son, and the Spirit's in the Father, and the Father's in the Spirit, and the Son's in the Spirit. And there's probably a few other combinations I didn't hit there, but you get the idea that the unity is almost like a, well, in the Latin, it's the circumcension of these three persons relating to one another in this very beautiful and mystical union and sharing of persons, all right? So that's perichoresis, a Greek word. By the way, choresis there is where we get the word choreography, right? So like dancing. So choresis here, or choral, you know? So it's this Greek idea of many being around and with each other. It's a wonderful thing to pray about. All right, number four is person, or in Latin, persona. Persona. Now, in the early church, there was a little bit of a controversy because in the Greek church, they used ousia for the one divine essence and hypostasis for the three persons, what we call the persons in English, right? But the Latin word persona actually relates to a mask. Per meaning through, sona meaning sound. It's something you speak through, right? A persona is almost like a mask. And so they were worried that by using the word persona to refer to the three persons of the Trinity, they were slipping into Sabellianism. So the Western Church, of course, clarified that this was not at all the case, that persona simply means a person, like we understand a person in English. And you'll also see sometimes in theology, especially with regard to Greek theology, the Greek word for person is prosopon. Prosopon. We talked about hypostasis before, but the other word that's used in Greek for person, as in a personal being, is prosopon. Okay, now let's move on to number five. Number five is the Shema. You'll often hear people refer to the Shema, and it's referring to Deuteronomy 6:4, which reads this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And the first word there in Hebrew for hear or listen is Shema. So theologians will refer to the Shema, and it's the great announcement or proclamation that Israel, the Jews, are monotheists. It's the Shema. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. So if you hear someone refer to the Shema or you see it referenced, it's referring to that proclamation, that key point in the Bible where it says God is one and only one. And of course, this is important because although we are Trinitarian, we believe in one God, not three. All right, and that brings us to number six, Trinitas. Trinitas means tri, three, like a tripod, and unitas meaning unity, one. So tri-unitas gets merged together into Trinitas, and the theologian that came up with this was Tertullian. He's not a saint or a doctor, but he is a father of the church, and it refers to this threeness and oneness together. And as we've said elsewhere, it's not 1 plus 1 plus 1 equals 3. It's 1 times 1 times 1 equals 1. Those three ones are all united in the one divine essence. All right. Our seventh word is substantia. Substantia. This is Latin, of course, for substance. In the Greek, as we've said before, is ousia. A substance is a thing itself, right? There's another class in the future in the Eucharistic courses that describes the difference between a substance and an accident, right? And a substance is something in its essence, right? And an accident is something that's incidental, right? In God, there are no accidents. He is the one substance, the divine substance, the ousia. And that goes back to our first word, homoousios, which means same substance. So all three persons have that same substantia or same ousia. Then number eight is generation, or in Latin, generatio, and it refers to the relationship to the Father to the Son. So as we say in the Creed, that the Father is eternally generating, eternally begetting the Son, and the Son is the only begotten of the Father. So in human generation, a father and a mother give birth to give life to a child, and the wife generates or births that child. In heaven, of course, there is no female consort, no goddess, but God, in his speaking, in his representing himself, right, in his word, the Logos, generates the Logos. And this is an eternal generation. It didn't ever begin, and it never ends. It's always a generation, an eternal, an infinite generation of himself. So the Son generates from the Father, or the Son is begotten of the Father before all worlds, right? It's an eternal and everlasting generation. And then our last word, the ninth word, is procession. You see Thomas Aquinas using this word all the time as he talks about the processions and the missions of the persons of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit proceeds from the Father and the Son. This is a big debate, by the way, between the Roman Catholic Church and the Eastern Orthodox Church. The Western Church, or the Latin Church, says that the Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father and the Son, or in Latin, filioque, and the Son, right? And in the Old Creed and the Greek Creed, it just says proceeds from the Father. So that's a distinction between the Eastern and Western Church. But nonetheless, we're studying Thomas Aquinas, and of course, we're Catholics here, so we follow the procession from the Father and the Son, that the Holy Spirit proceeds from both, right? And also sometimes you'll see in there a reference to Christ's relationship from the Father being generated as also a procession or a mission from the Father. So these are just ways of talking about how the persons of the Trinity relate to one another. So for example, we know that the Son is not the Father because he generates. We know that the Spirit is not the Son or the Father because he proceeds from both. So there are your nine words, your big words, and they're in the notes below. So study those and make sure you know them and you're familiar with them and comfortable with them. And then as you begin to read through the Summa, as you see them, you can relax because you know exactly what's going on. Hey, thanks so much for watching, and God bless you.